Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So a couple of days before I got married, my father-in-law, who is just a gem of a person, he sat me down and he made it very clear who his daughter was. Even though he's lived in California for 30 years, he identifies himself as a Texan. And he said to me, he goes, "You, no matter what you may think, my baby is a half Texan. And when my baby has babies, they're going to be a quarter Texan." I mean, he's the kind of man who puts his right hand over his heart when people mention the Dallas Cowboys. And he uses some great phrases from the South. He's all hat and no cattle, which means someone they put on a good show, but they don't really have the credentials to back it up. Or jawjacking. Anybody know what jawjacking means? Karen's like, "Nope, I have no idea." Jawjacking is just talking to talk. You know, people just talk to talk. They're jawjacking. But I think my favorite saying is snake bit. Y'all know what snake bit means? Some people are like, "Yeah, I absolutely know." No, snake bit is means that something is cursed. Well, when I was looking over our reading for the Old Testament today, my father-in-law's southern drawl immediately came to mind. See, the people of God in the desert, they were quite literally snake bit. See, the Israelites, they were traveling around in the vast wilderness of Sinai Peninsula waiting to get to the promised land, and they became increasingly impatient along the way. They began to question Moses. They began to doubt God. They began to believe that slavery under the Egyptians was preferable to freedom in the desert. Now, even though God had done all of these great, wonderful miracles among them, God delivered them from the Egyptians through the Red Sea, fed them manna in the wilderness, and was in the process of taking them to a land that was overflowing with milk and honey. But they began to turn away and thinking that living under the curse of oppression was better than living in the freedom that God had given them. Their minds had become snake bit long before their bodies were afflicted with any kind of venom. See, in their minds and eventually in their actions, they turned away from God and then they found themselves cursed with serpents. And like anybody being tormented by poisonous snakes, they cry out to God. And then God heard them in their distress, and in his grace, he provides a means for them to be healed. The faithfulness of God is seen in this Old Testament story and many other stories in that God always hears the cries of his people. God always comes to the aid of his people. God provides healing to the snake bit in a way that one may not expect. The creator of the universe, who fashioned the stars in the sky, he doesn't just make the snakes go away. The one who made all of the animals on earth doesn't bring in a superior predator to kill them. God doesn't even suggest that a way for the people to trap and kill them and eat them. They are in the desert, right? No, God tells Moses to fashion a bronze snake, put it on a pole, and then when people look up at it, they'll be healed. I mean, that's not the way I would have gone, but it seems to work. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when something is afflicting me, the last thing that I want to do is constantly be reminded of it. But that's exactly what God tells the Israelites to do. Rather than turn and run from the thing that's troubling them, God has the Israelites turn towards it and focus on it. See, a powerful aspect of this story is not that it just happened in the past, but it continues to happen to us today. See, it's not only the Israelites who were snake bit. We're snake bit too. In our gospel reading, Jesus, he draws an analogy from this snake on a pole story. Jesus tells Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. See, Jesus on the cross is a mirror for us. And we're called to turn towards the cross and focus on it, like the Israelites were called to focus on the bronze snake. Just as this snake lifted up healed snake bites, Jesus raised on the cross heals the wounds of afflicted humans. See, we live in a snake-bit world that is cursed with sin, death, and the devil. I mean, we don't need to go any further than the newspaper or going to a news website, to see that we're afflicted with this curse. We live in a world where violence is glorified, where abuse of every kind, it goes unnoticed, where broken relationships are the norm, and where justice for the poor and the marginalized, it falls on deaf ears. See, Jesus' death shows humanity that we are so cursed, we could not stand to have God in human form among us. We couldn't tolerate in our midst the incarnate one who is sinless. And just like the snake on the pole for the Israelites, in order to be forgiven and healed, God provides a means that we may not expect. We're called to look at the cross, to meditate on how our sin put the Son of God on it. When we focus on the cross, we see the handiwork of our sin. It's the death of Jesus. But the cross, it's not the end of it. The murder of God incarnate, it's not the last word. Even in Lent, we know the end of the story. Death does not triumph. Sin does not have the last word. The good news during Lent is always that Easter is just around the corner. So we who are bit and biter are redeemed through faith in Christ, and ultimately we are saved from sin, death, and the devil. God, in God's infinite mercy, has given his only Son that we may not perish, but have eternal life. See, God was not content to leave the world snake bit. God desires that we are all saved, and he uses the cross to bring us back into relationship. Friends, we are called to recognize that we're sinners, but we're called even more to trust in Jesus, who cleanses us from our sin. But how do we trust more? How do we believe more deeply? When it comes to these questions, another one of my father-in-law's idioms comes to mind, because it's often how I feel. Here it is. Sometimes I can't pour water out of a boot with a hole in the toe and directions in the heel. That's to say that sometimes I'm dense. See, when trust is lacking, when belief is dim, God provides us the sacraments so that we can have something physical to hold on to. He provides us with concrete expressions of God's grace for us to hold on to, because sometimes we're dense and we forget. See, God promised in these sacraments that they're means of grace. And when we participate in them, we find that we're not holding on to God as much as God is holding on to us. We can look back and know that in baptism, we participate in Jesus' death and resurrection. We can return again every Sunday to communion, where Jesus promises that his body and his blood are truly present, that there is forgiveness and faith created within us again and again. God never stops calling us back into relationship. God never stops whispering for us to come home. God never stops forgiving and healing. Friends, may you receive all that God has to offer. May you be healed of being snake bit and look to the cross. Amen.